Would you guys like to look at that to see that that's already been finished? What Peter said at Pentecost, everybody talks about the latter rain and the former rain and that it's all going to happen someday in the future. Just read the second chapter of Acts, or the first and second chapter, and you'll see it's already done. All right?
So was there a fight at Bible study?
No.
It was kind of intense, if I remember right. All right. Chapter 7. Verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. We studied that. We talked about the end of Job, etc., etc. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. How do you define patience?
Steadfast endurance.
Remember, affliction, we glory in affliction because affliction worketh. Anybody remember? Michael, are you here? You're not here. You come back? What?
Are you back? Yeah.
Romans 5. And not only so, but we don't have to go there. We not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Tribulations. Mm-hmm. How can you glory in tribulations? How can you take pleasure in things that are going wrong with you? That's what tribulations mean. Something's happening that you don't like. There's only one way you can possibly glory in tribulations. It's the same way, it's the only way that you can glory or that you can love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. There's only one way. There's only one way to glory in tribulation, and that is to see that you're dead. As long as you're alive, every time something goes wrong, you're going to get mad. Right? I'm not looking at Bojo. As long as you maintain your identity, every time something doesn't go the way you want it to, there can't be... In other words, patience is a virtue that's impossible for the human race. You can have patience for a time, but soon you will quit. You'll be another almost disciple. The world is full of them. But eventually somebody's going to say something to you, or something is going to happen, and you're going to just roll up your bedroll and quit. Because you don't have patience. Patience cannot be a part of the human race. Not the kind of patience that God is talking about. It is the fruit of the Spirit that is only on Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. So eventually what you do when things do not go the way you want them, you endure for a while, but pretty soon because of the fire of that event, then the thorns, the real identity, start crackling.
This is an abstract
point here, I think, but I think of Gerald Gaddy. I was always amazed Gerald Gaddy, Christian, I guess, were involved. But at some point, he opted out and became a counselor. And somehow I hear this as when you run out of your ability to do the Christian walk, you'll either...
No, he was a Christian. He was a pastor. Then he decided pastoring, the way he saw it, was goofy.
Yeah.
And so he instead became a psychologist. But I mean, you don't have to go very far. You don't have to go way back then.
I mean, that's the way I'm thinking of it. You come to a point where there's that fork in the road where you either lay your life down and see who the Christian is.
Yeah, but it's not about being Christian. It's about being. This isn't about them. It's about us. About you and I. And if you can, instead of responding to whatever is going on that is afflicting you, and you don't like it, and you're ready to quit and faint in your mind, or get mad at somebody, what is the alternative? What is always the alternative? It's repentance. And that's so affliction. We glory in affliction. Well, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The only hope of the glory of God is His resurrection in us. And anything else... If you understood the first two verses, anything else, you will glory in affliction also. Because you know that affliction will do what? Let's read it. Knowing that you'll glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. How can that be? Your experience in the world of tribulation is tribulation worketh anything but patience. I mean, does anybody think that tribulation in your life has worked patience?
Well, there's a cliche that, you know, things are going wrong as a character building.
It brings everything to the surface so you can see how you really are. You can repent.
You can repent, but it doesn't happen as a part of human nature. Human nature changes it.
You know, something happens to me that I don't like. I get mad, I get upset. I might carry it for a day or two, 2 or 3 hours or whatever, depending on what the situation is. And then after a point, I'm over it. If something happens that I don't like, you know, yeah, my immediate response is to get upset, get mad. And no, I don't have any patience.
So, but again.
According to what we're reading here this morning, then.
But listen, this is the human condition. You have patience for a while. Now, what happens with patience? You forget about it. You forget about the thing you were mad at, but it doesn't take away the thing that caused you to be mad, and it doesn't take away the sin. It doesn't take away. This is different. This says we glory in tribulation. So it's a different order. It can't come from the human condition, unless you're a masochist, and that's kind of goofy. You hear about the masochist and the sadist that had a date? And the masochist said, "Beat me, beat me, beat me." And the sadist said, "No."
There you have it.
Yeah, there you have it.
You Yeah, but this goes beyond. You glory in tribulation. Because you know that that which you don't like is knocking off, is destroying your false identity.
You appreciate the thing that's happening because of what it's doing, but you can't do that if you're like gritting your teeth trying to be patient.
No, and you can't do it if you just sort of, eventually it goes away because it'll come back and bite you again.
Just by knowledge, it seems to me, because a lot of times when you're in tribulation, you can glory, but it's by knowledge, not by because you're happy about it.
No, it's not. It's not even by knowledge. It's by Christ.
Well, what is the emotional experience when you're glorying in tribulation?
Repentance. That's the only way that glory can happen.
Your emotions could be doing anything.
Emotion, I get. Who give a crap about your emotions or what I know or don't know? It doesn't matter. It's the understanding that when you come to the place where you know that you know that you know that your life is Christ, and for you to live is Christ, to die is gain. That's the basis. That's the foundation. And if then something comes at you that causes you to not glory in tribulation, then that's a gift of God. Because it shows you where there's a in this temple or some deep caverns that have not repented, that are still filled with you. You can play mental tricks about it and get by for a while. But pretty soon, it's going to...
So that exact point of glorying is a point of repentance.
Right, just like everything else. You don't try to work up some scheme in your mind to say, well, I'm gonna fake this tribulation out. Does anybody understand me?
If the topic of the day is patience and you're working it and it's working, things are going well, if there's no tribulation because you're being successful at being patient, you know, that's that. It's when you're not successful at being patient, i.e. in tribulation, that patience is revealed.
The gift of God, the gift of the Spirit, patience is revealed.
It's that same damn trick.
Have any of you ever wondered why I try to put you on trips? I yelled it at Roger. And I always make fun of the Swede. And I inevitably pick on Gary. Why?
They keep sending you back.
You may think this is wrong. I tried not to teach. I fled from it. I wanted nothing to do with teaching. Because I intuited... Here, Pete. I intuited... Yeah. Get a cup of coffee or something. I intuited what was going to happen. When I did start preaching, I also saw, because I've been reading the scriptures a whole lot, the purpose of whoever is preaching it or teaching isn't to be nice. It isn't to try to teach you something. It is to possibly provide, and that's what the preaching of the cross means. It's to provide a system of thought for which there is no escape. So that all the devices that you have created in your mind to cope will be destroyed. And that requires this kind of intimacy. It requires that there be the kind of vulnerability and the atmosphere which permits this to take place. Now, nobody likes that, least of all me. But you've got to see that you can have the illusion of peace just by all of the devices the human race has invented to make your life comfortable. And you can go and have peace for most of your life. I mean, patience or peace. But the point of it is, it's only when if you can have patience under the intense tribulation that it is true patience, the gift of God, the fruit of the Spirit. And all of the other things of just trying to order your life and your schedule so that you can get by and cope are just asinine. That's something that's so far, something that I don't want anything to do with, and I expect you to do the same to me. That's why Jesus said, My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth peace. The world's peace is you're at peace when things are going the way you want them to. And you don't have any needs, and you're reasonably well off, and you're warm, and you're fed, and you're da-di-da-di-da. That has nothing to do with God and the peace of God. The peace of God is only revealed and cemented in the midst of turmoil and affliction and tribulation. Otherwise, you'll just be shocked when it happens. Why didn't somebody tell me? You know, you can go. That's why I despise putting on your Sunday best to go to church and sitting in little rows where you look at everybody's the back of their heads except for some guy that's way up there. I couldn't do that. I couldn't exist in that environment. And I don't think you should either. Now, if you should, that's your choice. If you want to. But that's not what we are about. We're about pushing every possible button on purpose. Oh, Gary got furious with me last week. But he didn't tell me. Now, if there is no patience or peace, patience and peace are directly relation. I mean, they're what do you call it? Proportional. If there is no patience in the midst of affliction, then your peace is a lie, and it's a peace based on some mental truce that you have entered into. Either with the truce, okay, I'm going to start not picking on Gary so that we can have the illusion of peace. Well, you know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, or I'm going to start not thinking about this thing that is troubling me because it right. bothers me. You know, and I don't want to deal with it, so I'm just going to forget it. Do something else.
And there are so many of those that are locked in. By the time you reach, you know, your 30s or 40s, there is a treasure trove of those things that I don't want to deal with now. I'll deal with them later. And every single one of those things is a spot on the garment. The garment of Christ's righteousness has been spotted by the flesh, and it has to be tested to see whether or not you're going to fold the minute tribulation comes. And that go to Proverbs 14. Verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. Now, the exalteth folly is a idiom. But it, in what he's saying, the literal translation is, he that is hasty in wrath, what does it say? He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. What it says, literally, is he that is hasty of spirit, i.e., you've endured for a while, but then, is he is short of spirit, or lacking the Holy Spirit. So that the apparent issue of patience, i.e. slow to wrath, is only a device learned by the flesh to cope.
I was looking good for a minute.
Do you stop and think how much... We started First Fruit meetings yesterday. But and it came, we didn't make it. But what the fruit of all of this was the amazing ability that the human race has to cope, and some more than others. And you're coping, and by definition, if you're coping, you're saying there's peace where there is no peace. You just sort of take this and you take that and you take this and you cope. And then what you have to do is you have to deaden awareness in order to cope. But that's what you've been taught. That's what the human race is taught to do. Is it getting through to anybody?
That whole concept was that's the greatest danger. One of the greatest dangers I see is mistaking picking up the cross for coping.
You know, it's like if I hadn't learned how to cope, then it's like, wouldn't make it.
But that's got you to the point now.
But now, if you cope.
Live.
Now, right. If you cope here, you will die.
Yeah. Coping is not living.
Coping isn't living. Coping is part of the lukewarm. I would that you were hot or cold, but because you're coping, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I would that you were hot or cold, because you're tolerating, I will spew you out of my mouth. All of the words like that are admired in the human race for societal purposes, coping, tolerating, tolerance, are all bullshit.
Yeah, tolerance is not love and coping is not living.
Picture on the
seeding blood. Yeah, it's all coping is the big wall and nice little decorations you've made to hide that blood between the altar porch and the altar of Zechariah the prophet. All right. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. What's the problem? Well, that's I don't mean going to go there.
We're back in
Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Say not thou. What is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely or out of wisdom concerning this. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Now, it's what it says is wisdom is good as not as an inheritance, but it's wisdom is good as a legacy. And the way this is translated, and this is critical for me, is that there are no new revelations. And the wisdom is that which has been tested by generations of rabbis and speakers and preachers. So that this is why all of the everything that is our heritage that starts, say, in the 3rd century for the last 1,700 years is really not of any interest to me. The only thing that we have been given that is a model of Christianity is the Scriptures. We don't have anything else. We don't have any. It doesn't matter what Luther said. It really doesn't matter what. I mean, those are interesting, and I'm glad they happened. But it doesn't matter what Wesley said. It doesn't matter what the buildings look like in the 3rd century or the 4th century. Or it doesn't matter what the service was like. None of that has any merit because it isn't tested by the generations from which this was the source. So anytime somebody tells you there's a new revelation of God, it's a 99.9999% certainty they're lying. Do you understand what I mean? The Talmud says exactly. The wisdom is as good as a legacy acquired through successive generations of teachers tested. For it will be free from error, as opposed to each generation's new revelations, which haven't stood the test of time. And really, this is where I got that statement. If it isn't 2,000 years old, it's crap. There's nothing new under the sun. That which has been is now, that which is to be has already been. And it's real. There's a need for you to have an appreciation for this at some deep, deep level, because it is the greatest defense against the idiocies of your mind. That which has been is now, that which is to be has already been, and God requireth that which is past. You got that a little bit?
I'm seeing how mind wants the new revelation so that it can dismiss all of this and not have to.
Don't have to see its death.
Yeah. Let's think of that scripture as his mercies are new every morning, and it's because of our idiocies every morning. We wake up with all kinds of new ideas that need mercy to cover them.
That goes back to where we started talking about patience. It's not, I don't have patience. It's the gradual seeing of his patience.
Right. That's the whole point. You don't have love. You see his love. You don't have. But what is the gradual in that?
Well, when it happens, it's not gradual. It's either on or off. But the problem is, I spend lots of time off.
Right. The gradual. The gradual,
right? You don't stay on the mountaintop. I'm sorry,
but gradual.
You do.
No, listen. I'm. You don't even know what I'm going to say.
You're over there laughing at me, not you.
The gradual. This will make you madder. The gradual is rebellion.
I know.
Oh, okay.
It's a gradual conforming to that which was, is, and shall be. I mean, I know.
But the only reason it's gradual, the only reason it's gradual is our rebellion.
I know.
I'm getting impatient.
I don't like it. I'm not happy about it. I'm not proud of it.
As I've said to others here, the only reason we want to think that time is necessary is so that we can keep ourselves alive.
I'd like to repent and then have it end.
Oh, but I just gotta, I got things to do. I got places to go. I got rivers to cross and mountains to climb. All these women in so little time. That used to be my mantra. It's just goofy. And the reason that vulnerability is so critical, it's for the other person's benefit, so they don't have to go through the process of the, you know, that maybe they, by their own, by hearing your experience that's honest and with integrity instead of some made-up crap, they can see through the vanity and come to the end of themselves more quickly. But that's why vulnerability is so important. Instead of just sitting there and thinking about yourself and what this means to me and how can I use this and what is, where, how can I hide from this? Oh my God. How'd you like to be sitting in a Bible study where you didn't understand English? It's probably sort of similar to where what we are doing here. I'm done. Take it, big guy.